Take your Bibles and be turning to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. We're going to finish up this section this morning. So, again, let's invite our Lord's guidance and presence with us. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you so much for the blessing that it is to us, for the wisdom that it gives us, for the guidance and direction. Father, we are so grateful to have such a wonderful book. Thank you that we can trust it, that it reveals to us accurately our Lord Jesus Christ. We might know him better, that we might love him more deeply, that we might serve him more faithfully, that we might model his life more clearly. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I've suggested to you that the theme for the book of Colossians is found in chapter 1, verse 10. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects. Colossians 1:10. So follow along with me as I read. I'm going to read verses 9 through 12. Because we're kind of wrapping up this whole section here this morning. Colossians 1:9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. We've been looking at this prayer of the Apostle Paul. The cause of the prayer, he had heard about them, their faith and love. We talked about that back in verses 3 and 4. The continuity of the prayer, he said, we pray for you. We have not ceased to pray for you. We pray always for you, verse 3. The categories of the prayer, he talks about prayer in verse 9. He asks in verse 9, and then verse 12, he gives thanks. So Paul's prayer life did not just consist of a gimme list, but he used different forms of prayer. The general term for prayer that's used has the idea primarily of worship. The content of the prayer, first of all, that they would be filled with the knowledge of his will. We talked about different aspects of God's will the last couple of Sundays. Primarily, this is God's revealed moral will. What does that look like? This is the will of God, your sanctification, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you, 1 Thessalonians 5. Those are the things that every believer can know they're supposed to be doing. Say, well, yeah, but I want to know God's will for the specifics. Well, how are you doing on the things he's already revealed to you? And then maybe he'll reveal more to you. Can we be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and in all spiritual understanding? Wisdom involves how to apply the principles of God's word. We're looking at a book that was written 2,000 years ago, and some of the things don't exactly apply directly. You know, Paul's going to talk about greet one another with a holy kiss. We don't usually do that here in the United States. Go to France and you're liable to get kissed. Go to Uruguay and visit the hawks, you're liable to get kissed. Go to Mexico and visit the bears, you're liable to get kissed, but not here in the United States. So how do we apply that? Well, we give handshakes and hugs and other expressions of affection that communicate in our culture the same sort of thing. That's spiritual wisdom. Spiritual understanding talks about having a Christian worldview so that you see what's going on in the world from the light of the revelation of God's Word. And it gives you perspective. It gives you understanding so that you're not in despair, which if you just read the newspapers and listen to TV media, man, throw up your hands and say, it's all over with. Spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding. The goal of the prayer so they might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. The possibility of the worthy walk, that might sound like it's too high of a standard. Well, let me tell you what sorts of things he says. The prospect of the worthy walk, walk worthy of the gospel, Philippians 1:27. Secondly, we're to walk worthy of our calling, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. We're to walk worthy of the God who called us into his own kingdom and glory, 1 Thessalonians 2:12. and in here we're to walk worthy of the Lord. I really believe if you just took this one slide and applied it to your life, it would transform our lives. This is what God wants our lives to look like, that we would walk worthy of the gospel, our calling of God, of the Lord. Walk worthy of that. Not in order to get saved. We're not talking salvation by works. We're talking about a life of gratitude because you have been saved through faith as a free gift. Pleasure of the worthy walk to please Him. To please Him. And I suggested last week there are two alternatives to pleasing God. First alternative is pleasing yourself. And we looked at several passages that talk about the fact we're not supposed to please ourselves. We belong to Him. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. 1 Peter 3:16. Set apart Christ as Lord in your heart. Set Him apart as Lord. Who's in charge of your life? Oh, me. Wrong. God is in charge because He bought us, He saved us, He redeemed us, He called us, and He appointed us as ambassadors. So the first alternative to pleasing the Lord is pleasing ourselves. The second alternative to pleasing the Lord is pleasing others. Paul talks in Galatians 1:10, if I was trying to please men, I would not be a servant of God. Have you known people like that? We talk about politicians who are just holding up their finger to see which way the wind's blowing. Why? Because they're going to speak that which their people want to hear. They're going to try to please people. Paul said, if I was trying to please man, I wouldn't be a servant of God. But you know, there is a sense in which we are to please people. Take a second to turn with me to Romans 15. Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Verse 2, Romans 15, 2. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. So there's a sense in which we are to please other people. We are to please other people. Okay, now Dave, you're contradicting yourself. No, I'm giving you two different scenarios. One scenario is the person who's trying to please other people so he can use them for his own benefit selfishly. You want to please people because you want them to like you. You want to please people because you want them to do something you want them to do. You're trying to manipulate them. Ever known people like that? Ever felt like somebody was buttering you up just because they wanted to use you? How insulting that is. We're not supposed to please people to use them. We're not supposed to please people for the purpose of manipulating them. However, as Paul says in Romans chapter 15, we are to please people for the purpose of not causing them to stumble. We're to please people for the purpose of serving them unselfishly for their good. Paul uses the term edification in Romans 15, too. To build them up. If you're living a life that is causing people to become disoriented or confused or is leading them into sin, that's not building them up. The whole matter of Christian liberty in 1 Corinthians 8, 9, and 10, Romans 14 and 15, the whole purpose of Christian liberty is to get us to please other people for their good and limit the expression of our liberty for the sake of the other person, for the sake of the weaker brother. So we are to please other people for their good. We're not to please other people to use them for our good. The motives are totally different, radically different. Jesus came to please people. Oh, wait, have you heard how he talked to the Pharisees? Jesus came to please people because he knew our need. He came to minister to our need and to serve us. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's us. So the pleasure of the worthy walk, we ought to please him in all respects. In all respects. Let's go back to Colossians 1. So the goal of the prayer, so they might walk worthy of the Lord, the pleasure of the worthy walk, to please him. The potential for the worthy walk, to please him in all respects. I'm going to have you underline some things here. To please, underline all in verse 10. Underline all in verse 10. What does that leave for us to do for our own selves to please ourselves? Nothing. If we are seeking to please the Lord in all respects, in every decision that we make, in every choice that we choose, if we're seeking to please Him in all things, that means that our will is to be totally submitted to His will. That our desires are to be totally in submission to his desires. He is to guide and direct every decision that we make. Every decision that we make should be made with him in mind, for his glory, to accomplish his will. Now, some of you might be thinking, oh boy, Dave, you're really getting fanatical now. You're really getting, you know, getting carried away here. I'm just reading a book. If you have a beef with that, take it up with the Apostle Paul. Better yet, take it up with the Holy Spirit who led him to write it. Your beef's not with me. Please him in all respects. Keep your finger here. Say, that's too hard. Nobody can do that. Sure they can. Keep your finger here. Leave a bulletin, leave a marker, 3x5 card. Go with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. I want you to understand this matter of pleasing God. Hebrews 11, 6. And without faith, it is impossible to... What's the next word? Please Him. So if you want to understand this whole matter of pleasing God, it starts with faith. It starts with saving faith, and it includes walking faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who seek him. But go back one verse, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Enoch was pleasing with God. What does it record about him in Genesis? Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. That sound impossibly difficult? No. You're still in Hebrews 12, go to chapter 13. Look with me at the verse that was the theme verse for our worship time. Hebrews 13, 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing. Doing good. Doing good works. Not in order to get saved, but he's writing to people who are saved. Doing good and sharing. That may mean sharing money, may mean sharing time, may mean sharing by praying for somebody, sharing your concern. Do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, the writer of Hebrews is using Old Testament terminology like the Old Testament priests who offered animal sacrifices. We don't offer animal sacrifices anymore. Jesus was the final once for all sacrifice, but we still offer sacrifices, good works and giving. We don't make a big deal about giving around here. We don't pass offering plates. Most Sundays go by without a single mention of giving. That doesn't mean you shouldn't give. Giving is part of the sacrifice that you as a believer have the opportunity to make as you come to worship. That's part of your worship. So the offering box is back there. It's between you and God. It's a personal thing. We don't try to coax it out of you by passing offering plates, but we make it available because it's an important part of your worship. For with such sacrifices, God is, what's the word? Well pleased. Want to please God? Do good work. Walk with God like Enoch. Give of yourself, your time, your money. Give to Him out of gratitude and love and obedience. Not out of a sense of obligation and duty. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Does that make it sound a little easier, a little bit more manageable? God doesn't ask something that's not possible. God's not that hard to please. Enoch did it. And you and I can too. With such sacrifices, God is pleased. Go back to Colossians. To please Him in all respects. This is to be a total lifestyle. It's not just, okay, I'm going to please Him on Sunday morning and I'll give Him, you know, I'm thinking that's a tithe of my week. I'll give Him kind of 10% of my time, so I'll go to church on Sunday morning, but the rest of the week's mine. You know, that's not even true about your money. You know, we don't believe in tithing around here. We believe in grace giving. But even when people were under the regulation of a tithe, 10% wasn't God's and 90% was theirs. It all belonged to God. Just like everything we have belongs to Him. We are stewards of His gifts. We're responsible to be accountable to use them for His glory. Please Him in all respects. Most of you are aware that when I was growing up, my parents weren't saved. When a neighbor family walked down the block with me and offered to take me to Sunday school with them on Sunday mornings, my mom and dad were happy to have me out of the house on Sunday mornings because that meant the house was quiet and they could sleep off Saturday night. So they were happy to have me going on Sunday morning, Sunday school and church, and I went with this family. Then I said, hey, you know, they have a program on Sunday evening, too, that I kind of like to go to. I'm going to start going. They'll pick me up, and I'm going to start going on Sunday evening, too. Well, my mom wasn't quite so comfortable with that. Then I told her, oh, now, they also have a service on Wednesday night that I'd really like to start going to. I'm going to start going to the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And then my mom almost put her foot down and almost prevented me from going, because that's getting downright fanatical. You don't want to get fanatical about this religion stuff. Really? How fanatical did Jesus get when He died on the cross for me? It's pretty radical, isn't it? Is there anything that I could do that would be radical enough to pay Him back for that? Please Him in all respects. Bearing fruit in every good work. Okay, now I want you to underline that word, every. We've got all respects in verse 10. We've got every in verse 10. Every good work. This is part of the matter of pleasing God. Please Him in all respects. What does that look like? Bearing fruit in every good work. Those of us who believe in free grace, in other words, those of us who believe that a person is saved by grace through faith alone without any kind of works, are sometimes accused of not believing in works. And that's absolutely false. We believe in works. We just put them in their proper place. Works are not necessary in order to become saved. In fact, you can't do any good works before you get saved. Isaiah 64:6, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The best that we can try to do before we come to Christ for salvation and faith, the best that we can do is filthy, stinking rags in His sight. Ah, but after we're saved. After we're saved. Keep your finger here and go to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 with me. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and then we're going to look at verse 10, which we often skip. Ephesians 2, 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. You're saved by faith, by the grace of God, apart from works. How many works do you have to do to be saved? None. Romans 4, 5, but to him who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Faith without a single work. And now look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Don't miss those prepositions. It's not by good works, but it is for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. You don't get saved by doing good works, but you're saved to do good works. God wants to change our lives once we trust in him as in Christ as our Savior. God wants us to live a different kind of life, to walk in newness of life. Go back in Colossians 1. Paul says that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, I want you to underline the phrase bearing fruit and the word increasing. You say, now that's kind of strange, Dave. Why bearing fruit and increasing? And then I want you to look back with me at verse 6. Paul has just commented on the gospel, the end of verse 5, verse 6, which has come to you just as in all the world also it is constantly, see those two words, two phrases, bearing fruit and increasing. According to verse 7, the gospel is bearing fruit and increasing. According to verse 10 and 11, what are we supposed to do? Bearing fruit and increasing. Manifesting the results of the gospel's work in our lives. Verse 7, the gospel is bearing fruit and increasing. Or verse 6, verse 10, we are bearing fruit and increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Growing in the practical, experiential knowledge of God is seen as one of the goals of our salvation. I'm just going to read some verses. You can jot down the reference if you want. Please don't try to follow me. Ephesians 4:13. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. The knowledge of the Son of God. Growing in the knowledge of the Lord is part of the goal of our salvation. We come to know him in a sense at salvation. But then we're to be growing in the knowledge of God. We're to be increasing in the knowledge of the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. Paul prayed for the Philippians. In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment. You see, love that's not guided by knowledge and discernment is a dangerous thing. You may find yourself loving things that God doesn't love. That your knowledge and your love would grow in all real knowledge. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Paul praying for them, that their heart may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ himself. Growing in true knowledge. Colossians 3, verse 9 and 10. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge, according to the image of the one who created him. God has saved us. He's made us new creatures in Christ, but we're not finished products yet. He's still working on us. We sometimes sing that little kid song, he's still working on me. Boy, he's still working on me. You're probably well aware of that. If you're not clear on that, ask Linda. She knows how much work there's still that God has to do on me. Again, don't turn there. Let me just read it for you. 2 Peter 3:18. Peter talking his last words. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge. That's what God saved us for. That we would be increasing in the knowledge of God, to please Him in all respects, to walk worthy of the Lord. You get saved as a simple act of faith. But that's not the end of the story. That's just the beginning. That's just the preface to chapter 1. The rest of the story comes as we grow and walk with the Lord. Grow and walk with the Lord. Now, some of you might be thinking, okay, Dave, this may be great for some super spiritual saints like you, but I can't do this. This is too hard. You're asking too much of me. I'm sorry. Paul takes care of that objection. The power for the worthy walk. Verse 11. Strengthened with all power. Underline that word all. You've got all and every in verse 10. Now we've got all in verse 11. Strengthened with all power. The word translated strengthened is a present participle. Means it's a continuous action. God is continually strengthening us to do what He wants us to do. He doesn't say, okay, here's the standard. Try to live up to it on your own strength. Good luck. He says, here's the standard. I want you to live by this, and I will grant you the power to do it. We looked a couple of weeks ago at Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is at work in you. The Greek word energeo. God energizes you to desire and to do His good pleasure. Whatever God calls us to do, He gives us the strength to do. He gives us the strength to do. The other thing about the word strengthened is that it's passive. Which means this is not something you have to try to generate on your own. It's something God gives you. You just receive it. You can be strengthened by Him. So that it's His strength that we walk by. It's His strength that we serve by. It's His strength that we love by. Strengthened with all power. This is so encouraging. Philippians 4:13. Some of you love that verse. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. But in context, it's not talking about, you know, I can jump over tall buildings with a single bound. Okay, some of you people who are old enough to remember Superman. But it does say, I believe, in the context, Paul's talking about being content in whatever circumstances he was in. But I think it includes that and even more. I can do all things that God asks and calls and directs me to do, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. It's the same promise that we've got here in Colossians 1. Power for the worthy walk. Strengthened with all power. How much power does it give us? Well, let's see. Strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Literally, according to the might of His glory. You suppose that's strong enough to handle whatever we're going to face? I'm confident it is. We're strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. Toward what end? Toward what end? For the attaining of all, underline that word all, okay? Now in verse 10 you've got all respects, every good work. Now in verse 11 you've got strengthened with all power for the attaining of all steadfastness. all steadfastness. How long do you think that means you'll be able to keep up this walk with the Lord? The word translated steadfastness is the word that's most commonly translated endurance. It literally means remaining under. Remaining under. It's primarily dealing with circumstances. Are there circumstances that you're under right now? For the attaining of all steadfastness. You can walk worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects. Why? Because you're strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness. Whatever it is you're facing, whatever it is you are trying to get through, God will grant you all the strength you need to get through it. So if we fail to honor Him in the way we get through these circumstances, guess whose fault it isn't? It's not His fault. Because He grants us all the power we need for the attaining of all steadfastness so that we can get through, that we can endure any situation, any circumstance that we have to get through. You say, well, you know, my problem isn't so much a circumstance. My problem isn't so much a situation. It's people, and that's my problem, is people. Look at the next phrase. For the attaining of all patience. Steadfastness or endurance primarily deals with situations and circumstances. Patience primarily has to do with people. And how much patience does He grant us? For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. All the steadfastness, all the endurance, and all the patience that you need is available through the power of Jesus Christ. It's all available. We have resources. We have a reservoir of power available to us. That whatever we have to face, whatever God allows us to face, He will grant us the power to get through. We've talked about the promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. You say, oh, this temptation is too much. I can't handle it. It's more than I can handle. No, God says, He's granted you all steadfastness and patience by His power. We live in a nasty world. We live in a fallen world. We live in a hateful world. And there are times when it might feel like it's more than you can handle. When you feel like that, I want you to know where to go. I want you to come back here to Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12. Because God wants us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, being strengthened with all power through the might of His glory for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. When you feel like it's too much, I want you to come to this passage. And I want this passage to comfort you. And I want this passage to give you hope. I want this passage to give you confidence that whatever it is you're facing, you can do it. Because His power is sufficient for whatever it is we're going to face. Circumstances or people, either way. His grace is sufficient, He told Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. My grace is sufficient. Memorizing this screen would be really helpful. But as you might walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Are we walking in a manner worthy of the gospel? Philippians 1:27. Paul commands that. Are we walking in a manner worthy of our calling? We've been called saints, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, ambassadors for Christ. Are we walking in a manner worthy of our calling? Are we walking in a manner worthy of the God who called us? 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Are we walking in a manner worthy of Him? Are we walking in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects? This can serve as a self-test. How is my life doing according to this standard? Not according to the standard of the world. What do they know about godliness or holiness? But according to God's standard, how am I doing? Am I walking worthy? Am I relying upon the power of the strength of His might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience? Am I keeping on for the glory of God? That's what He's looking for. He saved us. He made us new creatures in Christ. And He gives us all the strength we need to do what He asks. He just asks us to do it then. We just have to decide to do it. Father, thank You for this explanation that we have, not only of what You expect of us, not only what You desire to see in the life of one that You have redeemed by the blood of Christ, but thank You, Father, that You have given us the assurance that we have all the power we need to accomplish it. Father, I pray that this will grant hope and encouragement and strength and peace to everyone here. Whatever it is each individual is facing, Father, and You know each heart, You know each life, You know each situation, we can please You by the power of Your might. We can please You in all respects. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' precious name and for His glory, amen. May God's grace be with you.